Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good morning, Dermot Whelan here. I'm sitting in for Oliver today. It's Tuesday, 3rd of June, and I'm with you all till 10 a.m. The weather is windy, it's sunny, a bit colder, but stay strong and don't put away the shorts just yet. The legs are looking great. Let us know what you're thinking in the usual way. You can text us 51551. You can WhatsApp 087 032 32 32, or you can send longer thoughts by email to oliver@rte.ie. So we've got a lovely show for you this morning. There's nobody around that knows more about the meeting of romance and comedy than the rom-com queen herself and best-selling author Vicky Notaro. Her new book, Long Story, adds one more thread to that mix, friendship. She's also the host of the podcast You Had Me at Hello, where she interviews well-known people about rom-com movies. For some reason, she hasn't invited me on the show just yet. Plus, we'll be hearing about a unique new history tour at Glasnevin Cemetery as well. But wetter, get used to it, folks. That's the headline in the Irish Daily Star today. The early June weather is to remain drab, with Met Aaron warning it could be the end of the month before we see decent sunshine again. Met Aaron says a low pressure system is moving in, so the first couple of weeks of June will be grim. And I have to ask, like, why are you telling us this, Met Aaron? With everything going on in the world, can't you just sugarcoat it a little bit for us? Give us something to hope for, like you would when you talk to your children. You don't want to lay all the truth out there. And do we have to use the word grim? I mean, at least give us an unsettled or even a mixed. We'll take that. They add that temperatures will be getting no higher than 16 degrees compared to 25 degrees last month, meaning our barbecues will now only be good for housing snails for the next few weeks. All of this, however, will be music to the ears of the thousands of Leaving Cert students starting their exams tomorrow, because who wants to be sitting in an exam hall or doing last minute cramming when the weather is good? Because that's always the way that it has been. And the papers today are full of advice and commentary around the Leaving Cert today, which of course English Paper 1 tomorrow. They are including advice on how to navigate the day before and during the exams. We're so helpful, aren't we? Just offering these little nuggets of wisdom just before the exams start, and expect our children to take in all this information. Various experts say that stress and anxiety during exams is normal, but they shouldn't cause extreme levels of it. Some ways of coping with it are taking short breaks from studying. So it doesn't have to be the big hour off. Could be just a few minutes here or there. Meditation or yoga, talking to someone, and deleting your social media apps. I think they're probably really good bits of advice for us all, no matter what we're going through in life. And actually, there is one little technique that I've shared with Dahi and Maura on the Today Show several times. And if you can get Dahi O'Shea to do it, you know it's a good technique. And it's a great one, not only for people studying, but for anyone who maybe works with a laptop, or you're working from home and you have that kind of fizzy brain after looking at a screen for too long. So if you ever want to do that, you want to get out of your head, I recommend this little technique. It's a Qigong, which is basically it's an ancient Chinese tradition of meditation, balance and movement, if you want to get precise about it. But the idea is that you stand up, and you start shaking your arms. If I do it here, I'll just stand up and do it for you. I know you can't see me, but I kind of need to get into it. So you're shaking your arms and shaking your hands down by your side. Feel free to do this, but not if you're driving, because you'll plow into the vehicle in front of you. And then just gently bounce on your knees while you're shaking your arms and your hands. Just gently bouncing. The team here are looking at me through the glass with several bemused looks. And you're kind of doing a little gentle bounce, like, say you were, you know, if you see your small kids when they really need to go to the toilet, that's kind of the movement. And it's a really lovely one just for shaking off a little bit of tension, a little bit of stress, and getting out of your head into your body and ready for the next part of the day. That's my one anyway. It seems not a day goes by that there isn't a story telling us that small quantities of wine or chocolate are in some way beneficial to our health. In fact, there are so many of these studies involving the benefits of red wine that I was suspecting they are put together either by vineyards or people with severe alcohol dependency. But no, this is real science from reputable scientists at Queen's University. And today, the story is that your five a day can now include, you guessed it, chocolate and red wine. This is in the Daily Telegraph, which reports that a new five-a-day diet, including tea, apples, oranges and berries, all foods rich in chemicals called flavonoids, will help people to live longer. This study has found flavonoids have a range of benefits, apparently, including lowering high blood pressure, which is good, and dampening inflammation. And everything we touch, eat or see seems to cause inflammation these days. Scientists have long known them to be good for health, but the new study is the first to investigate the benefits of a diversity of different flavonoids, not just the quantity. Tea apparently is rich in flavanthriols, another flavonoid, while orange juice is full of flavonones, and kale has high levels of flavonones as well. So some foods such as apples and tea contain several different kinds, and that's, I think that's the stuff that's coming out of this study, is that the more of different kinds of these flavonoids and more often you can get into it, the better it is for you. 125,000 British people took part in the study over 10 years. And participants who consumed at least 1,000 milligrams of flavonoids a day were a fifth less likely to die during the study. It makes it sound like a pretty dangerous study to be involved in. I'd be avoiding that one. But I have to say, red wine does absolutely nothing for me these days. It kind of makes my heart go a bit wonky and I can't sleep after it. I wonder, does anyone else feel that? Probably an age thing. You know, the way alcohol has different effects on you as you get older. But I'm totally up for the good news about the benefits of dark chocolate because I love it so much. I used to have a dark chocolate subscription where I would be sent three bars every few weeks with all the info about the bean and everything that comes with it. It did veer, I have to say, into that fluffy wine nonsense where everything seemed to have undertones of cherry and spiced nutmeg. And the detail involved in the bean and the people who picked it was seriously impressive. I'm pretty sure I knew the star sign of the village teenager that actually picked the cocoa leaves. But then Brexit came and ruined it all because the postage got silly expensive after that. Damn you, Nigel Farage. But it's good news, I guess, for kids who don't want to chow down on lumps of soggy broccoli. From now on, it'll be a case of, Mommy, can I go and play? Not until you finish your Beaujolais Nouveau, darling. And staying with health news, is biological age just another wellness phase that we're all going through? Is there any substance to it? And how is it measured? How can we influence it? And should we actually try? Well, the Irish Independent today features a book called Age Less, How I Reduced My Biological Age from 60 to 20. And how you can too. It was written by a journalist and author called Sandra Parsons. And Sandra says what started as small changes helped her cut 40 years off her biological age, which is pretty incredible if it is all scientifically valid. Well, what began with Pilates, yoga and running led to other lifestyle changes for her, such as a better diet, cutting back on two glasses of wine a day, which apparently now is bad for us again, and giving up the cigarettes, which obviously is a great improvement. Now, through what she describes as cumulative process, she has slowly but surely wound her internal clock back. So they did some checking. A professor called Cathal McCrory, who's co-principal investigator of the Irish Longitudinal Study on Ageing at Trinity College Dublin, is quoted in today's piece, and he says solid science underpins this notion of a biological age, that it really is different from chronological age, i.e. the number of candles you blow out on your birthday cake each year. He goes on to say that only 16% of lifespan is influenced by genes, and there are two specific bursts of ageing. At 44, and then again at 60. And it's fair to say a lot of us in that age bracket feel like we are indeed bursting in a lot of areas. But I guess it is optimistic and it's hopeful that no matter how bad we think we are, how lazy or past it or beyond help we may think we are at some times in our life, that actually if we do make a few small changes, we can reverse, not only slow, but actually reverse the aging process. And that's pretty cool. And someone who's dealing maybe with a little bit of that could be Rod Stewart. He's been forced to cancel a Las Vegas concert due to illness just weeks before he's due to play Glastonbury's Legend slot. I think it's such a cool thing that they do with that festival. And I guess you can see it creeping in here with the like of was it the Wolftones who played Electric Picnic and had the big hit? Yeah, so kind of bringing in legends and introducing them to, a whole new audience sometimes, a whole new generation of new fans. So it's great to see people like Rod Stewart turning up at Glastonbury. He said in a statement, "I'm sorry to inform you that I'm not feeling well and my show tonight at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace is being rescheduled to June 10th. Last month, he was seen with a sign around his neck informing anyone he came into contact with that he could not speak after his concert at Milan's Unipol Forum." I could actually think of a few social engagements where a sign like that might come in handy. Just throw it over the neck. You know those things you know you have to go to, but you just don't have the energy to for the small talk? Just lash the sign over your head. "Sorry, can't talk." In just 25 days' time, the 80-year-old rock star, is that just brilliant, will play the Sunday afternoon legend slot on the Pyramid Stage at the world-famous music festival in Somerset. And hopefully his voice will recover in time for Glastonbury. So get well soon, Rod. And I think it's only fitting that we should play a bit of Rod this morning. Maggie May, take it away. Come on, Rod. Rod Stewart and Maggie May, such a great tune. Hopefully we'll see him at Glastonbury. And Rod should be very proud that he was one of the four tapes that my dad had in his entire collection in his car. Other lucky artists to be in my dad's collection, if you're curious, were Bagatelle. He had Paul Simon's Graceland in there, and then some lad called Peter Skellern, who I remember, who I never heard of again, other than outside of my dad's car. Get well soon, Rod, and hope you get a good spot for the L tent in Glastonbury. Thanks for your texts on 51551 or 087 032 32 32. Dermot, talking of shorts, says Tom, reminds me of the woman who refused to allow her husband to wear shorts in public. She was convinced that the neighbours would think she'd married him for his money. Hey! That is not how you pronounce flavonoids? Apparently, I was calling them flavonoids, these good things in wine and chocolate that are meant to help us live longer and die less. But flavonoids, apparently, I presumed it was a data kind of thing. So I went with flavonoids, but whatever you're having yourself. A great singer, legend, says Thomas Blake. Legend Rod was discovered when busking on the London Underground. Lucky break. To all you buskers out there, don't give up. Opportunity awaits you. I always think the acoustics of the London Underground always really help you as well. That sort of that built-in reverb makes you sound about 20% better than you actually are. And my dad had Peter Skellern too in the car. Oh my God, there are two Peter Skellern fans. If you're curious, as far as I remember, because I would have been very young when I was listening to these tapes, he was kind of like a bit of a crooner. He used to sing songs like sort of Putting on the Ritz. He had a tux on, I remember, on the front of the tape. Anyway, there may be another person in the country who actually remembers Peter Skellern. I was actually just looking at Rod Stewart online and it says he's 5'10" and I am not having that. I mean, his Mrs. Penny Lancaster is over 6 foot and he always looks a lot shorter than her. I know he's a fan of the old heels, but if Rod Stewart is 5'10", Bono's 6'4". He's going to be the next second row for Ireland. I'm not having it. And I noticed something quite heightist, I would say, in terms of dating. And short men everywhere were dealt a crushing blow this past weekend as the popular dating app Tinder rolled out a new filter allowing women to pick and choose their men based on how they measure up. There's a new premium height filter which allows paying users to specify the minimum and maximum heights for their matches. I wouldn't say that's massively controversial, but short men are feeling rather put out by it. Heightism is rife on dating apps, apparently, with men routinely adding 2 inches to their height, on their profiles to be more appealing to women, according to OkCupid. And this has become something of a joke online. So if a man tells you he's 6 foot tall, then actually he's really 5'10". So I'm 5'9", so that would make me 5'11" in Tinder life. I refuse to say I'm short. I think 5'9 is beautifully average. Yeah, wouldn't you say? Yes, polite nodding heads here. Height discrimination, though, works both ways. if you're a man who's feeling a bit put out. With 5'4" woman receiving 60 more messages on the dating platform each year than a 6-foot woman would, according to the same survey. So it seems, yeah, this heightism is working in two directions. Well, I'm not sure how tall the characters are in her book, but they are fascinating. And I can't wait to talk to the author. After the break, we're going to be talking to best-selling author Vicky Nataro on female friendship and old flames.